Welcome to Cyber Shield Weekly. I'm Alex, and joining me as always is Sarah, our resident cybersecurity analyst. It is Tuesday, July 13th, 2026, and you are listening to Volume 1, Issue 42.
Hey everyone, really glad you're here this week because I have to be honest, this is one of those episodes where the threat landscape feels like it leveled up overnight.
That is exactly the right word for it. This week, we are covering a phishing operation so sophisticated it can bypass your multi-factor authentication. An AI-assisted attack tool that is doing the hacker's reconnaissance work for them, a misconfigured server that accidentally exposed three separate live attack operations, and Meta's new patent that has some serious privacy implications for every executive with a smartphone.
We have also got a government alert you cannot afford to ignore if your business runs any kind of AI tooling, plus our small business corner, this week's tech tip, and we'll close out with Daniel Ramos at the CTO's desk. And trust me, his take this week is sharp.
A lot to get through. Let's get into it. All right, top threat number one, and this one is genuinely alarming. A new phishing as a service platform. And if you haven't heard that term before, think of it as a criminal business that sells ready-made hacking kits to other criminals. This one is called Forg365, and it is laser-focused on Microsoft 365.
So here's what makes Forg365 different from your average phishing email. It's not just sending you a fake login page. It's using two techniques in combination that make traditional defenses largely ineffective. The first is called device code phishing. Here's the plain English version. Normally, when you log into Microsoft 365, you type your password and approve a push notification on your phone. Device code authentication is a legitimate feature designed for things like printers, smart TVs, devices that don't have keyboards. It lets them authenticate by having you enter a short code on a separate device. Attackers are abusing that flow.
And the reason it's dangerous is that it bypasses MFA entirely. Your multi-factor authentication, your second form of verification, doesn't stop this attack because the victim is actually completing a real Microsoft authentication flow. They are just doing it on behalf of the attacker.
Exactly. And then Forg365 layers on something called AITM, adversary in the middle. Think of it like this. Imagine you are having a conversation with your bank through a window, but someone has installed a pane of glass in the middle that you cannot see. They are reading everything you say, capturing your session cookie, which is basically the digital token that proves to a website you are already logged in, and then they use that token themselves without ever needing your password.
So you log in, MFA passes, and the attacker is already in your inbox.
Right. And this platform also uses AI-generated lures, meaning the phishing emails look incredibly convincing because they are written by an AI, not a human. Plus, it has anti-bot evasion built in, which means it detects and blocks security tools that try to scan it.
What does this mean for a 50-person company? You're probably running Microsoft 365. Your team uses it for email, Teams, SharePoint. This attack is designed for exactly your environment.
Three things to do right now. One, go into your Azure Active Directory, that's Microsoft's identity management system, and disable device code authentication flow unless you have a specific device that needs it. Very few small businesses do. Two, enable conditional access policies that block authentication from unexpected geographic locations. Three, look into FIDO2 security keys. Those are physical USB or NFC devices, like a YubiKey, that provide phishing-resistant MFA that this attack cannot defeat.
We'll say that again, phishing-resistant MFA. Standard authenticator app codes can be intercepted by AITM. FIDO2 keys cannot. That is the upgrade worth making.
And if you are not sure where any of this lives in your Microsoft admin panel, call your IT provider this week and specifically ask, are we protected against device code phishing and session hijacking in Microsoft 365?
Good. Threat number two. And this one is a fascinating look at how AI is changing the attacker's toolkit. Researchers flagged an intrusion where an unknown threat actor used what appeared to be an AI-generated PowerShell script to perform Active Directory enumeration.
Okay, let me unpack both of those terms. PowerShell is a command line tool built into Windows that lets you automate tasks and query system information. It is extremely powerful and legitimate. IT admins use it constantly. Active Directory enumeration means systematically mapping out a company's entire user list, computer list, and domain structure. Essentially, an attacker is drawing a floor plan of your network.
And what made this notable was the style of the script. Researchers described it as vibe-coded. Clean, well-commented, oddly well-formatted for a malicious tool. The kind of thing you'd get if you asked an AI assistant to write you a network discovery script and then used it for malicious purposes.
Which is the thing that keeps me up at night here. You no longer need to be a skilled programmer to execute a sophisticated attack. You need to know what to ask an AI. The barrier to entry just dropped dramatically.
The script located the domain controller. Think of that as the master brain of a Windows network, the server that controls who has access to what, and then methodically cataloged every user account, every computer, and every organizational unit before creating a directory tree, a complete map. That is exactly what an attacker needs before they move laterally through your network.
So, what do you do? First, enable PowerShell script block logging. That is a Windows feature that records every PowerShell command that runs on a machine. If you are not logging this, you are flying blind. Second, alert on Active Directory enumeration commands. Most modern endpoint detection tools can flag this activity. Third, apply the principle of least privilege, meaning no user account should have more access than it absolutely needs. If an attacker compromises a low-level account and that account can see everything, your exposure is massive.
Threat number three, and this one is almost darkly funny if it weren't so serious. A French security researcher discovered an attacker who was running a live Microsoft 365 phishing operation and accidentally exposed the entire backend.
The attacker was running a tool called EvilJinx. That is a real named attack framework used to conduct adversary in the middle phishing. And at some point, they started a Python web server on a public IP address using an extremely basic command, Python 3-m HTTP server 8080. That command spins up a simple file server with no authentication. Anyone who knows the IP address can browse the files like a folder on a shared drive.
And they left it running.
They left it running. And their command history, the list of every command they had typed, was sitting there in a readable file called .bash history. From that one mistake, the researcher could see not just one phishing operation, but three separate EvilJinx campaigns, all targeting Microsoft 365.
The lesson here is not that attackers are sloppy, though some clearly are. The lesson is that these operations are real. They are active right now, and they are specifically hunting Microsoft 365 credentials.
The combination of Forg 365 and these EvilJinx operations tells a very clear story. If your business runs Microsoft 365, you are a named target. Not hypothetically, actively.
And our fourth story before we move on, Meta filed a patent for an AI system that listens to your voice throughout the day, analyzes your emotional state from how you sound, and logs every reading with a timestamp, your location, and what you were doing at the time.
This is not a deployed product yet. It is a patent application, but it is important for business leaders to understand because it represents where ambient AI surveillance technology is heading. The privacy implications for your workforce, your confidential conversations, your executive strategy sessions, these are real considerations.
And if your employees use personal devices for work, which in a 50-person company they almost certainly do, this is a conversation your leadership team needs to have about acceptable use policies and device governance.
Proactive governance, not reactive panic, but it starts with awareness.
Let's move to government alerts. This week's most urgent advisory is one the Internet Storm Center surfaced Monday morning. Someone is actively scanning the internet for MCP servers and AI assistant credentials.
Let me explain what that means, because this is brand new territory for most business owners. MCP stands for Model Context Protocol. It is a standard that AI assistants, things like Claude, various Copilot tools, internal AI chatbots, use to connect to your data sources, your calendars, your files, your databases. It is the plumbing that lets an AI assistant actually do useful things inside your business.
And the problem is that many of these MCP servers are being deployed by developers and IT teams quickly without hardening them, meaning without securing them properly. And now there's evidence of automated scanning tools probing the internet looking for exposed MCP endpoints and the credentials that control them.
If an attacker gets access to your AI assistant's credentials, they potentially have access to everything that assistant is connected to. Think about what you've given your AI assistant permission to read: your email, your files, your customer records. That is the blast radius.
If your business has deployed any AI tooling in the last 12 months, any Copilot, any internal chatbot, any AI integration, ask your IT team or vendor this week: are our MCP server endpoints exposed to the public internet? Are the credentials rotated regularly? Are there logs of who is querying the AI and what it is accessing?
Also this week, Wireshark released version 4.6.7, patching 12 vulnerabilities and 16 bugs.
Wireshark is a network analysis tool used by IT and security professionals. If anyone on your team uses it, update immediately.
And a note on the broader memory and stack vulnerability discussion the ISC raised this week. If you have developers on staff or use any custom-built software, have a conversation about memory-safe coding practices. It is a longer discussion, but it matters.
The big picture from the government alerts this week, AI infrastructure is becoming an attack surface. Treat it like one.
Small Business Corner. This week's theme ties directly to a joint advisory from the UK and its allies, including the US, urging critical sectors to improve defenses against Russian intelligence targeting, specifically poorly configured routers.
Now, I know when people hear critical sectors, they think power grids and defense contractors, but the advisory is broader than that, and here is why it matters for a 50-person business. Russian state-sponsored actors are known to use compromised routers, including small office routers, home office routers, as relay points for their operations. Your router might become part of their infrastructure without you ever knowing.
So what can a small business actually do? Because not everyone has a full IT department.
Three affordable steps. First, change your router's default admin password. This sounds embarrassingly basic, and yet it is the number one misconfiguration attackers exploit. Log in to your router's admin panel, typically at 192.168.1.1 in your browser, and change the admin password to something long and unique.
Second,
update your router's firmware. Firmware is the software running inside your router. Log into that same admin panel and look for a firmware update option. Most modern routers have it under a settings or maintenance menu. Run it.
And third?
Third, disable remote management. This is a setting that allows someone to access your router's admin panel from the internet rather than just from inside your office. Unless you have a specific reason to need it, it should be off.
And for businesses that want to take the next step, the UK Cyber Essentials pathway was highlighted this week as a practical framework for moving from basic hygiene to a certifiable security posture. Even if you are a US-based company, the framework is freely available and genuinely useful for structuring your security program.
Think of it as a roadmap. 5 control areas: secure configuration, access control, malware protection, patch management, and network firewalls. Hit those 5 things and you are ahead of the vast majority of small businesses.
Tech tip this week. We are walking you through how to disable device code authentication in Microsoft 365, because given everything we discussed today, this is the single highest impact action you can take this week.
Okay, you are going to need to be a global administrator in your Microsoft 365 tenant. That means you have the highest level admin access. If that's not you, hand these steps to whoever manages your Microsoft environment.
Step 1.
Go to portal.azure.com and sign in with your admin account.
Step 2.
In the left navigation menu, look for Azure Active Directory, or in newer versions of the portal, it may say Microsoft Entra ID, which is the rebranded name for the same thing.
Step 3.
Navigate to Security, then Conditional Access, then Policies. This is where you control the rules about how and where people can log in.
Step 4.
Create a new policy. Name it something clear, like Block Device Code Authentication. Under the Users section, apply it to all users. Under the Cloud Apps section, select All Cloud Apps. Under Conditions, look for Authentication Flows and select Device Code Flow.
And step 5?
Under Access Controls, set the Grant option to Block. Enable the policy in Report Only mode first, which means it will log what it would block without actually blocking anything yet. Run it in that mode for 48 hours. Check the logs to make sure nothing legitimate is breaking, and then switch it to On.
That last part is important. Test before you enforce. The last thing you want is to lock your team out of a legitimate workflow on a Monday morning.
Exactly. And if you hit a wall at any point, search Microsoft's documentation for Conditional Access Block Device Code Flow. They have a step-by-step guide that matches what we just described.
CTO's Desk. We close every episode with a perspective from Daniel Ramos, CTO of Intelligent Automation. Daniel, as always, has been tracking this week's developments, and here is his take.
Daniel opened this week with a line that I thought was perfect. He said this week's threat landscape reads like a crossover episode between Mr. Robot and Black Mirror, and not the fun kind.
Which, honestly, is accurate. And his framing on the Microsoft 365 situation was sharp. Between Forge 365 and those 3 exposed Evil Jinx operations, he said it is clear that attackers have a type, and that type is your Microsoft tenant.
His call to action was direct. Disable device code authentication in Azure AD Conditional Access.
enforce phishing-resistant MFA using FIDO2 keys. And when he anticipated the pushback, "But that sounds hard," his response was, "Yes, so does explaining a breach to your board."
That is the calculus every executive needs to sit with. The friction of implementing a security control versus the friction of a breach. They are not comparable.
His observation on the AI-generated PowerShell script was really interesting strategically. He framed it as us versus us, because defenders are using AI tools to write scripts, and now attackers are using AI tools to write attack scripts. The gap between a sophisticated threat actor and an unsophisticated one is closing fast.
And his prescription was not to be alarmed by that, but to match it. He specifically talked about a hybrid AI model in the Security Operations Center, autonomous AI handling the volume of alert triage, which is sorting through the hundreds or thousands of security alerts a business might generate, while human analysts with AI copilots handle the nuanced judgment calls.
That model is not just for Fortune 500 companies anymore. Even a small business using a managed security service provider should be asking their provider, "Are you using AI-assisted triage? How are you handling alert volume? What is your response time?"
And Daniel's note on the Meta patent was brief but pointed. His line was that your phone may soon know you're stressed before your therapist does. And while he kept it light, the underlying message is serious. AI-enabled behavioral surveillance is coming into consumer and enterprise products, and executives need to get ahead of the governance conversation now, not after it is deployed.
What does governance mean in plain English? It means your company having a written policy about what AI tools employees can use, what data those tools can access, and what they are not allowed to do. That policy does not need to be 50 pages. It needs to exist.
Daniel closed with "stay paranoid, stay patched," which honestly is the best two-word security strategy I've heard.
It really is.
All right, let's close it out. Three things to take away from today's episode.
Number one, Microsoft 365 is under coordinated, sophisticated attack right now. Forge 365 and evil Nginx-based operations are actively targeting your environment. Disable device code authentication this week and upgrade to FIDO2 phishing-resistant MFA if at all possible.
Number two, AI is on both sides of the table now. Attackers are using AI to write attack scripts, build convincing phishing lures, and automate reconnaissance. Your defenses need to evolve at the same pace. Enable PowerShell logging. Enable AD enumeration alerts. Ask your IT provider or MSSP how they are using AI and their detection capabilities.
Number three, your AI infrastructure is a new attack surface. If your business has deployed any AI assistant, copilot, or integration tool, ask today whether your MCP endpoints are secured, your credentials are rotated, and your access is logged.
If this episode gave you something useful, and I think it did, please share it with one business owner or operations manager in your network who needs to hear it. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and leave us a review if you have a minute. It genuinely helps us reach more people who need this information.
We will be back next Tuesday with more threat intelligence, more actionable guidance, and hopefully a slightly calmer week. Though based on recent trends, I am not holding my breath.
Stay paranoid, stay patched, and we will see you next Tuesday.